Labas and good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Reividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio right here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and of course, live streaming audio on the internet. Where else would you have live streaming audio, right? At KTYM.com.
Mus priglausi vyriaus kaliai ir lopšinę paliuliuos susapuoklo mūsų nelį gimta žemė Lietuvos susapuoklo mūsų nelį gimta žemė Lietuvos.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for tuning into Independent Lithuanian Radio this afternoon. That little excerpt you heard was a song about the deportations, and as we go into June, we'll be talking a lot about the deportations from Lithuania and Latvia and Estonia, but of course specifically Lithuania, which began in 1941 in June, what's known as the Terrible June. And the lyrics in that song, they're interesting. They say that even that the great vast distances of Siberia will comfort us when we think of our homeland, Lithuania. Before we go further on into the program, we want to pay our respects and let you all know that we have lost another member of our community, a very long-time member, and that is Elena Miškinytė Pajojienė. Elena Miškinytė Pajojienė would have been 101 years old had she lived a few more months. Imagine that, 101. She was born in 1912. In Žarasai, Lithuania. That, in other words, she was born still when Lithuania was under Tsarist Russian occupation. This is before independence in Lithuania. To put that more into perspective, she was a mature woman when the deportations we just talked about began in Lithuania in 1941. She would have been, 30 years old at that time already. So a few years before the war, 1936, Elena Miškinytė married Vytautas Pajaujas, and they left Lithuania, they fled Lithuania in 1944, already had a daughter, Danutė. 1949, they wound up in the United States in Worcester, Massachusetts, and her husband passed away in 1965 when the family moved to Pennsylvania, and ultimately in 1967 settled here in Southern California in the Los Angeles area. She was very active in our local community here at St. Casimir's, and Elena died this past Sunday, the 26th of May, at the home of her daughter Danutė Basiulis. A funeral mass will be held next week, Saturday, June 8th. That's Saturday, June 8th, at St. Casimir's Church in the Silver Lake, Los Feliz area at 11:30 in the morning. Her remains will be cremated and will be sent for a final burial in Worcester, Massachusetts, near her late husband. You may also pay your respects tomorrow. That's tomorrow, June 2nd, at a viewing between 4 in the afternoon and 8 in the evening. That's tomorrow between 4 and 8 at White and Day Mortuary in Redondo Beach. That's tomorrow between 4 and 8 at White and Day Mortuary in Redondo Beach. On behalf of Independent Lithuanian Radio, our condolences go out to Danutė Basiulis, her daughter. And our prayers go out to Elena Mishkinita Payoyena, 100 years old. May she rest in peace. We're back now at Independent Lithuanian Radio, and an unseasonably warm period has passed through Lithuania. In Vilnius, the capital, today the high was 80 degrees, and tomorrow will be 75. And then it's going to sort of level out in the low 70s for the rest of the week, and by next weekend, the highs will drop to 68, 69 degrees. A lot more typical for late May and early June in Lithuania. Well, our very own Lithuanian youth ensemble, Spindulys, sun rays, in other words, the sun rays, will perform tomorrow for you, Jaunimo Švente. That is the youth festival. It sort of symbolizes the end of the school year and the beginning of summer. And the Spindulys Youth Ensemble will perform tomorrow live at noon at St. Casimir's Parish. They'll be dancing and singing, and according to the promotional material, it says you'll be seeing all sorts of our young people dressed up like bugs and bees and flowers and plants and grasshoppers and birds. So it ought to be a lot of fun. Costumed children, and again, our young people will perform for you. For more information, call Dangola this afternoon. Dangola Razutita Varniene, she's tireless. You know, she's worked for so many years with these young people and with many generations of them. So give her a call at 818-249-7574. That's 818-249-7574, 249-7574 for any more info. But bottom line is you should be there. Support our young people tomorrow at noon at St. Casimir's Parish Hall for an hour and a half of fun and songs and dancing. Again, at St. Casimir's, corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Street. That's tomorrow. Now, in a couple of weeks will be the Bardu Festivalis, which is basically a singer-songwriter festival, and it'll be out at the ranch in Agua Dulce that belongs to our very own Aloysius Pechulis, and that's at 35885 Bass Rock Road, okay? 35885 Bass Rock Road, and that's in Agua Dulce, you know, out there where they filmed the Flintstones movie, all those great rock formations, beautiful ranch country. Aloysius Pechulis has a horse ranch out there, and he's kind enough every year to allow one of these music festivals to happen. So you bring your tent, your sleeping bag, and some picnic food. However, you'll be able to buy hot food there in the evening, and there's toilet facilities and all that, and you have live music, a bonfire going. It's a lot of fun. You'll have a great time. Once again, that's the 15th. That's the 15th of June. It starts at 6 o'clock in the evening, and the concert goes into sunset. Now, as an added treat, if you get there a couple hours early, like 3:30, 4 o'clock, you can go horseback riding, okay? Aloysius and his daughter will give you basic horseback riding lessons, and you can get onto one of their steeds and ride around the corral, or perhaps, I'm not sure, and perhaps in the countryside. But anyway, it costs $30, $30 to participate. Again, bring a sleeping bag, a blanket, and a good attitude, and you'll have a great time. That's in 2 weeks, the evening of the 15th of June in Agua Dulce on Bass Rock Road. Call us for more information here at Independent Lithuanian Radio. Leave a message. I'll get back with details in case you missed them. We're, of course, at 310-453-1735. That's 310-453-1735. Write it down, 310-453-1735. 1735. That's my office phone. 24 hours, leave a message. I'll get back to you and give you any details you want about this event or anything else we talk about here on Independent Lithuanian Radio. And then if your Lithuanian is any good, on the 23rd, that's the 23rd of June, at noon Sunday, there will be a play with Birutė Mar and Aleksas Kazanavičius, who will play Jonas Biliūnas and his wife, Julia. And it's based on their love letter writing and their correspondence and their artistic work that was done in Lithuania during the independence period. So once again, give us think about participating, and that will be the 23rd of June at St. Casimir's Parish Hall at Sunday at noon. For more info on that, call 323-360-7786. Remember, this is in Lithuanian, 323-360-7786. And before we go into some news, we want to remind you about our promotion here at Independent Lithuanian Radio, and that is for a $100 donation or more, $100 or more, you'll be helping us to stay on the air, and we will send you as a premium for your donation a copy of the DVD of The Other Dream Team by our very own Modest Mudakavičius. The Other Dream Team is a 90-minute DVD that tells the story of the independence movement in Lithuania through the eyes of the bronze-winning Olympic team, the first Lithuanian basketball team to participate in the Olympics since independence in 1991, was recognized by the world, and in 1992 in Barcelona, they won a bronze medal. So that whole story is presented in this English-speaking DVD, where the interviews are in Lithuanian, the subtitles are in English, and there's also English narration, I believe. And make a long story short, you have no problem understanding any of it, even if you don't speak a word of Lithuanian. That's the point. So once again, for $100 or more, we will send you a copy of this award-winning DVD, The Other Dream Team. Make your check payable to Independent Lithuanian Radio and send it off to 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica, 90404. That's 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica, 90404. And we'd like to let you know that the DVD by itself is available 7 days a week at Euro Deli Mart. That's at Euro Deli Mart, where you can taste and sample a variety of imported Lithuanian foods. Pick up the DVD and other souvenirs at the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard and Yale in Santa Monica, California. That's Euro Deli Mart Lituanica at 2838 Santa Monica Boulevard, 20 blocks from the beach, at the corner of Yale and Santa Monica Boulevards in Santa Monica, California. Now, some news. Gediminas Kirkilas, the chairman of the Lithuanian Parliamentary European Affairs Committee, said during a meeting of the Conference of Presidents of the European Parliament, he said, quote, "Many know that the price paid by Lithuania for energy resources is among the highest in all of the European Union." Now, we here at Independent Lithuanian Radio have been talking about this, the fact that Lithuania is woefully dependent upon Russia for its natural gas, and how we need, Lithuania needs to change all that, and the luck, if you want to put it that way, the geological benefit that we have found, that shale gas, okay, shale gas is trapped beneath the surface of Lithuania, one of the largest deposits of shale gas in the world, and the largest in the European Union, is along the Lithuanian-Polish border. Currently, the price paid by Lithuania for Russian gas is 30% higher than paid by other European countries. Meanwhile, like I said last week, bureaucrats continue to scare people about fracking. The priorities of the EU climate policy and other relevant environmental issues were discussed last week at the meeting between members of the Seimas Committee on Environmental Protection and Connie Hedegaard, European Commissioner for Climate Action. Get that title. She is the European Commissioner for Climate Action. What do you expect her to say? The European Commissioner talked on a most pressing current issue under discussion, namely legal regulation on shale gas. She said that it is up to each EU member state to decide what energy sources to use, be it fossil fuel, nuclear, shale, or renewable energy resources. Shale gas, in her opinion, would be a better option than fossil, but a significantly worse option than renewable energy or improved energy efficiency. Lithuania has a huge potential in the latter sphere. The main obstacle to development of shale industries in Europe is a high population density. In addition, experts have informed the European Commission that shale gas in Europe will never cost as cheap as it does in the United States. And, you know, we talked about this last week. Now, she reminded the audience that the European Commission is going to develop legislation this year that sets forth the basic requirements, including environmental requirements, for potential investors to meet before making their decisions. In other words, regulate, regulate, regulate. Both Hedegaard and Janis Potocnik, the European Commissioner for the Environment, spoke out for binding obligations on member states to meet high environmental standards during the process to extract shale gas. To the question posed by the Committee on Environment Protection regarding the possible harmonization of subsidies for renewable energy at the EU level, the commissioner responded that this proposal was under discussion in EU institutions. She went on to say that decisions will be made only after 2020 because of the need to take into account individual countries' problems. With reference to nuclear, she said this was also a matter for the states to decide individually. Nevertheless, someone like Denmark, she said, would never build a nuclear power plant. Denmark, unlike other EU member states abiding by high environmental standards, incinerates waste. Of course, the Danes sort and recycle waste before incineration where possible. There is not a single municipal waste landfill in Denmark, she said with pride. On the 22nd, Prime Minister Algirdas Butkevičius met with her. The Prime Minister welcomed constructive cooperation between the European Commission and the Lithuanian government. Lithuania certainly welcomes the Commission's efforts to devise the 2030 framework. Okay, we're talking 18 years from now, for climate and energy policies designed to stimulate long-term investment in the infrastructure, which would ensure security of energy supply, stability and availability of prices for energy resources. Other objectives include maintaining competitiveness in the industry and drawing investment to low-carbon economic development, which would lead to creation of jobs and economic growth, said Butkevičius. See, I got a cut from this article again. I don't have time to report everything that we get and that we see, all right? Last year, 80% of the renewable energy company startups in Lithuania fail, okay? All these things you read about, wind farms, if you travel in Lithuania now, you see this ridiculous-looking windmill sticking off of some hillside in Žemaitija, all right? They're going under. It doesn't work. Plus, they have solar projects. Do you get this? In Lithuania, they have subsidized solar energy project, EU money, money that people pay in taxes, and they pay a lot more taxes in Europe than we do here, is being taken and thrown into renewable, quote-unquote, energy, solar energy projects in Lithuania, where the sun shines something like 45 days of the year, okay? It's not Southern California. It is not. It's more like Seattle. For goodness sakes, and they keep talking about this stuff. Let's get some common sense, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, according to the head of the government, the Ministry of Environment is examining the climate change-related information. Lithuania says it's necessary to consider the issue of mainstreaming climate goals across all economic sectors, such as energy, industry, transportation, and agriculture. Okay, the Prime Minister added that the Lithuanian EU presidency would pay substantial attention to preparations for the Warsaw Climate Change Conference. Among the other issues discussed were Lithuania's EU presidency priorities and other climate change policies. Yes, they're going to try to change the world. Okay. This is the problem. So just like in 1940, Lithuanians are once again too feeble to unite. This is an opinion piece, okay, that we found by Ramūnas Bogdanas. It's about the lack of political and national will among Lithuanians to unite. This time, he writes, we are being stagnant regarding nuclear power plant. It seems Lithuanians need to be cornered to lose their passiveness. During the post-war period, the Lithuanian freedom fighters were the same men who watched the Bolsheviks come in 1940. When the Soviets submitted an ultimatum to Lithuania in June of 1940, President Antanas Smetona and cabinet ministers spent all night discussing whether to fight or let the foreign army in, a cowardly belief that submission will be more useful and that the Bolsheviks won't do much damage took over the meeting. Some who preferred flowers over weapons that night were imprisoned in Moscow's jail and exiled to Siberia. Even though Lithuania had a modern army, it was not deployed, snugly explaining how great Vytautas was. Crushing the mighty crusaders in the Battle of Grunwald is one thing, but actually finding the courage to fight for your homeland is different. Finland was to meet the same fate Lithuania did. It's worth remembering that during the pre-war period, four countries were called the Baltic states, but soon Finland was all alone. So only three regained that name a half a century later. A parallel with these days can be seen, and it is not to the advantage of Lithuanians. We, Lithuanians, lack courage and determination to undertake a big project like the nuclear power plant at Visaginas, which is impossible without determination. If our people are so easily intimidated and persuaded that the project is too expensive or that it's too dangerous, then it means they are hoping that someone else will ensure their well-being. Similarly, you won't persuade anyone in the jungle of the Congo to build skyscrapers with air conditioners. They'll have a referendum and say it's too expensive and there's a risk of collapse. Clay and hay shacks are so much better. And if you don't like it here, go to England or Norway. You'll find the houses you want and better salaries and benefits, too. Sauli Niinisto, president of Finland, who has recently visited Lithuania, said, I understand that you're having some serious discussions regarding the power plant. So here's something I'd like to tell you. In Finland, we're building our fifth reactor. Feels like 1939. The Lithuanians are discussing it, and the Finns are actually doing it. Anyway, the author of this opinion piece, Ramūnas Bogdanas, goes on to talk about how the Belarusians and Lukashenko are basically saying, look, you know, we're going to build this plant and we're going to sell the energy to Lithuania. The Russians are also looking forward to, you know, again, they already control the energy sector in Lithuania by controlling the natural gas supply. Everybody heats with natural gas, all right? Gazprom is controlled by Moscow, okay? The electricity, the nuclear stuff is already controlled by other countries that are not necessarily friendly to us, such as Russia, Belarus, one and the same. Anyway, it's time to unite. It's time to do something right. It's time that the less than 3 million Lithuanians left get it together, push their politicians to put their petty differences aside, the bribery, the corruption out of the way, and to set the path for the future to what works, okay? And there's a couple of things that work. Nuclear energy, all right, and natural gas, of which Lithuania has more than it knows what to do with, should it allow the development of that industry. You know, and I'm not trying to paint a picture here where we have no controls, there's no regulations, everybody going nuts. What I'm trying to do is just get that conversation going, because people here in the West have more power than you think, okay, than you think, to get the Lithuanian politicians thinking that with sensible regulations, we can develop these industries and become energy self-sufficient, non-dependent on our occupiers, on the people who killed our parents and our grandparents. Okay? Why? Why would we let them do this? Anyway, I'm going off on tangents. You know, it's time to get something done instead of just talking about it. Once again, you can read this and other articles by Ramūnas Bogdanas on Lithuania Tribune. That's Lithuania Tribune. Not Lithuanian, LithuaniaTribune.com. Well, I can't even pronounce this, but the initials are QS, and it's an organization that ranks, international organization that ranks the world's universities, okay? The top universities in the world. And Lithuania is now participating. International University Rankings, subdivision of this QS outfit, includes three Lithuanian universities. They are Vilnius University, of course, in Vilnius, Vilnius Gediminas Technical University, and Vytautas Magnus University, which is in Kaunas. Basically, the University of Vilnius, Vilnius University, is ranked at about 500. The rankings, you know, it's ranked a little bit differently for, say, the humanities department as opposed to the science department, as opposed to the arts and music, as opposed to the, you know, so the rankings go from 501 to 550. So solidly in 500th place. You got to understand that they rank 2,000 universities in the world, so it's 500. And if you're ranked in the top 700, okay, you're considered one of the finer schools in the world. So Vilnius University is in that top 700 with place 501, okay? And the other two, which are Gediminas Technical in Vilnius and Vytautas Magnus in Kaunas, are in the low 600s. Put this in perspective, MIT, okay, in Massachusetts is number one, and Harvard is in number three, and a good old USC right here in Southern California is about number 200. Here's stuff we'd like to see more of. All right. Vilnius Regional Court yesterday, Friday, found Lithuanian citizen Lev Lesisin, 86-year-old Lev Lesisin, who was a Soviet militia interrogator. They found him guilty of deporting people to Siberia during the post-war years. The court also gave him 1 month to apologize in writing to the victims. The prosecutor has asked the court to issue prison term for Lesisin, who was charged for taking part in the deportation of Lithuanian people while working for the Soviet repressive structure, the State Security Ministry, also known as the KGB. Three male and one female victim, who were small children or teenagers at the time, were deported to the Tomsk region of Siberia in October of 1951. He has 3 weeks to appeal. We've about run out of time this show, but we want to remind you that we'll be carrying this theme through the months. Remember, the mass deportation started in 41, but the deportations between 44 and 52 were even greater. That's what he was tried for. In March of 49 alone, mass deportation of 90,000. That's 90,000 Baltic nationals were deported in March of 1989. Again, it bears repeating. The numbers are staggering. 300,000 Lithuanians were deported or sentenced to prison camps on political grounds. It is estimated that Lithuania lost almost 800,000 citizens as a result of Soviet occupation, of which about half were war refugees who fled. Now, forget those that were deported. Those that died in Soviet jails and prisons between 44 and 53 were about 14,000. The death toll among deportees between 45 and 58 was over 20,000, 5,000 of them children. Of course, the last Lithuanians were murdered by the Soviets in January of 1990, 13 dead in the demonstrations in Vilnius. I'll be reminding you, and hopefully we all remember not to forget the war crimes perpetrated against our people by Soviet thugs. This is Kester Disadé with us for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Bye-bye.
Mes lietuviai, mes mylime mišką, pilką akmenį paukščių naktinį, sūrių gintarų lašą ištryškusi, iš tos vietos, kur skauda tėvynėje.